Blog Talk Radio.
This is the first time in our history that this ceremony has been held, as you've been told, on this west front of the Capitol. Standing here, one faces a magnificent vista opening up on this city's special beauty and history. At the end of this open mall are those shrines to the giants on whose shoulders we stand. Directly in front of me, a monument to a monumental man, George Washington, father of our country. A man of humility who came to greatness reluctantly. He led America out of revolutionary victory into infant nationhood. Off to one side, the stately memorial to Thomas Jefferson, a Declaration of Independence flames with his eloquence. And then beyond the reflecting pool, the dignified columns of the Lincoln Memorial. Whoever would understand in his heart the meaning of America will find it in the life of Abraham Lincoln. Beyond those monuments to heroism, is the Potomac River, and on the far shore, the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small-town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. The crisis we're facing today does not require of us the kind of sacrifice that Martin Treptow and so many thousands of others were called upon to make. It does require, however, our best effort and our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds, to believe that together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. And we're just so grateful tonight to have our friend from Texas, Alice Linehan. Hi, Alice. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me again on the show tonight.
Oh, Alice, thank you for your perseverance. It is so needed. You are so needed for such a time as this. And but to start off, we're going to turn this over to our dear Miss Barbara Moore, who is also a historian, and I know she's going to love having you on tonight. So here I go, turning it over to her to get us on the right foundation. Hi, Miss Barbara.
Hi, Diana. Hi, Alice. It's just so delightful to be together again, and we're looking forward to tonight's show. I wanted to just briefly talk for a few minutes about Winston Churchill. You know, God raised him up at just the right time in history to lead the the people of Great Britain. And, you know, whenever he was praised for the way he led Britain through those challenging days in World War II, he would say, "The people were the lion. I merely provided the roar." And I'm thinking about, here we are in America. We need someone to provide the roar. I do believe that the people here in America are good people, and we'll do whatever we can, what is necessary, but we need a great leader to provide that roar. It was in July of 1941 that Winston Churchill held up two fingers as a sign of victory, and it did become the symbol for all Western European resistance during World War II. A year earlier, Churchill stated before the House of Commons and said this, "I expect that the Battle of Britain is about to begin. Upon this battle depends the survival of Christian civilization." And indeed, it did. And I think we're facing the same thing in our world today. We are battling for the survival of Christian civilization, and we are being bombarded on every side. And I'm hoping and praying for the leaders, a leader or the leaders, to provide the roar for the people of America. Let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, how good you are to us, O Lord, in every way. Father, we thank you for the gift of history, and Father, learning about your hand upon us from the very beginning and through all the years, Father, you have been with us. Your hand has been upon us, and you have moved on our behalf, O God. And you have moved in response to your people, Father, who love you and who plead with you, Father, for this nation. Father, as we're battling the Common Core initiative and all that it entails, Father, we think about how blessed we have been learning about our heroes and the greatness of America and all the things, Lord, that you have done for us and those that you raised up, Father, to work through them and to just bless us so greatly, O God, and how much that means to us. Father, we want that for our children, our grandchildren, for all those who come after us. Father, we want it for people our age, who never had the opportunity to learn about your hand upon us throughout our history. But particularly, Father, for our children and grandchildren. And we don't want that stolen from them, Father, as it will be, as it is being stolen with Common Core and the progressive liberal philosophy of education, Lord. And so, Father, we thank you for all that you're doing to help us stop Common Core. And, Father, we pray, though, not only a stop to it, Lord, that it would be totally stopped throughout the United States, but that, Father, we could have something so wonderful in education, Father, that you would be acknowledged once again, Lord, that you would be honored throughout our land, including our schools and our government, in all institutions of influence in our land, O God. And now, Father, we pray for this time that we have, that you have given us. We ask you to be with us. We ask you to be very present and help us, Lord, to open ourselves up to you and the truth that you desire for us to know. We ask this, Father, along with all those prayers, Father, for Israel during this time, Lord. We just join with many throughout the world, Lord, in praying for the protection of Israel, the wisdom for Israel's leaders, Lord, and Father, that the people of America will give them wholehearted support, Lord, in the fight for their survival. And we pray all of this, Father, in the precious and lovely name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you, Ms. Barbara. You know, it's always so good to for you to share those nuggets of wisdom, Ms. Barbara, of history. It sets us off on the right foundation. And how timely is that reminder? And I believe that Alice is that roar, Ms. Barbara. You know, she's really, you know, she's traveling all over the country helping, and she's going to be coming to Alabama in September. We're so grateful for her, along with the few others that's coming to our state to enlighten, you know, the citizens across the state. And tonight she's here with us to talk about history and her concerns on what's going to be taught in the fall all across America. And I'm just reminded of, you know, children who do not know who they are. You know, you see that with children that have been adopted. You know, they long to find out who they are. And it's so very important to really know your foundation. And what they're going to do, Alice, is really remove that foundation. And we're going to have a lot of lost children who probably don't even know where they're going to go in the future. So I think it's just very important what Alice is fixing to do, which is try to get us in the right foundation. And but anyway, Alice, if you don't mind, explain to us about what you're trying to do. What is going on that has you very, very, I know, invigorated, and I'm seeing you posted all over Facebook, so thank you, but go ahead.
Well, what we are trying to do is get everyday moms and dads and taxpayers to go into their schools, public, private, and charter, and go in and say, can I see what you're teaching my child? Can I see how you're teaching my child? I want to see the instructional materials. I want to see the textbooks if you have them. I want to see what they're getting online. I want to see what my child is learning, along with how their teacher is being trained. What is the professional development of the teacher? And can I see who's financially benefiting from the curriculum products that my child's teacher is being evaluated on? And we see it time and time again. If you look at the strategies and the tactics of how first the Common Core was implemented, actually it goes back, how first No Child Left Behind was implemented and the mandates that were put on the states by No Child Left Behind, and then you have the Common Core and the mandates that were put on the states or on the school districts by the Common Core. The strategies and the tactics are the same. It's implemented before we even have a chance to have a voice or to even know if the curriculum products or curriculum structures and frameworks that are coming into our schools have been piloted and proven successful. They're implemented, and our tax dollars are used for their implementation. And we're beginning to understand now the strategies and the tactics as we peel back the onion. And I don't believe that it's going to be the elected officials that write legislation that fix this. While that is so important and we must do all that we can at the legislative level, at the state board or the board of education, however your state is set up, we have to be engaged in the legislative process for sure. But they can only do more harm. I don't know that they can fix things. And so it is incumbent upon everyday moms and dads to use their parental rights to go in and say, what are you teaching my child, and have a say in what their child is learning, and going to be done at the local level. And in order for that to be done, first they have to go in and say, can I see? And then they have to understand once they see it and once they disagree with it, because I would say a majority of everyday people would disagree with what their children are learning in the classroom, or at least the strategies or the Common Core philosophy, subjective strategies that are being taught to our children, they would disagree with. And so then what do you do? How do you go in and take back your schools? And it's going to be a lot of hard work, but it's going to depend on us to do that hard work. And I know that in Texas, we've got people who are fighting the battle, but the wonderful news is that it's in every single state. There are people going in and asking the question, can I see, and fighting back. And that's why you have state after state after state that's beginning to repeal the Common Core standards, and people are starting to ask questions. And that's the blessing. That's the good news. People are waking up.
Alice?
Yes.
I'm curious. You know, when we encourage moms and dads to do this, can you give us some examples of, in the way of preparation, can you give us some examples of some of the responses from the schools when parents do this?
Well, you're going to get varied responses, and I think it depends on how financially beneficial it is for the people that you're asking. You know, you've got to kind of break it down. There's a lot of really wonderful teachers out there who know that what's coming into the schools is not good, but their job depends on it. Their family's income depends on them towing the line. And so you have to understand where people are. So when you get pushback, you have to understand where people are. And it's interesting because I think a lot of people have bought into the narrative of the talking points of how wonderful this 21st century learning is. And they don't know who Linda Darling Hammond is. They don't know who Bill Ayers is, or who David Coleman is. And so they don't know what they don't know. So when you go in and start asking the questions and you get pushback, you have to understand why you're getting pushback. And you have to look at the individuals who are giving you the pushback and say, okay, where are they tied into this? I'll give you a perfect example. In Texas, we are fighting the battle against this AP U.S. history framework that is coming into all 50 states. The College Board owns the copyright and owns the framework for the AP, which is Advanced Placement level classes. And so the head of the College Board is David Coleman, who's the mastermind of the Common Core. We were in Texas last week after we had our Can I See conference. One of our State Board of Education, Ken Mercer, started connecting the dots. He's an elected official on the State Board of Education, and he did not understand what Common Core really was or what the big picture was. So when he came to our conference and he heard Jane Robbins talk, and he heard her talk about this AP U.S. history framework and how they were implementing it, he said, oh, my goodness, this is awful. This is bad. And so he tried to write a resolution to get the Texas State Board of Education completely reject the AP U.S. History framework. It was too late by then. By the time he tried to put the resolution in, he couldn't get it into the agenda because of the rules of the State Board of Education. But the commissioner or the chairman of the Education Board agreed to hear public testimony from the public. And so we went and all testified. We had some incredible people that testified. My point is that these people who are in the middle of it, they are on the State Board of Education, they don't even understand the big picture. And so when you start getting pushback, it's about educating people on what this is. It's a small world because, and God has a sense of humor, I think, the guy who is the Southwest Region Director of the College Board, so not the Southwest Region of Texas, but the Southwest Region of the United States, is a guy named Dr. Richard Middleton. It just so happens that Dr. Middleton is from my hometown of San Antonio, Texas, and he was my superintendent all through high school. And he was my school district superintendent until 2008. He gave a lot of my friends, family members, people that I know very well, a job in education. This man is directly tied to David Coleman, to this whole framework. I know this man. I know that when I went to high school, we learned, you know, our U.S. history. And if you look at this U.S. history framework, they're completely taking out our founding fathers. They're completely taking out our heroes of the battle. They're taking out the battle. They're not even teaching any of that. Is Dr. Middleton a socialist, a communist, and a Marxist? I don't think so. I think Dr. Middleton's family is financially tied to him selling this AP product to the state of Texas. And I have an opportunity, along with the people that I went to high school with and that he gave jobs to, who are teachers on the ground now in San Antonio, Texas, and the surrounding areas, to say to this man who we know very well, what are you doing? Do you understand the big picture? I mean, I know people that he goes to dinner with. I know people that, and so that's why it is so important for us to get educated on the big picture and to take it local, for us to be the media in the local, in our local communities, because you never know who you're going to know. And so I don't think that I know Dr. Middleton. I don't think he's this awful man, but we're getting pushback from him. So we have the opportunity to say to him, look, Dr. Middleton, when I was in high school 30 years ago, this is not what we were taught. And I think that our founding fathers in our history is important. Why are you doing this now? And we have the opportunity to educate him on the big picture and give him an out. Give him the ability to push back and to say, we're not going to implement this. We're not going to, you know, my job doesn't matter that much, because if it's going to take down the United States of America and our children and their future, it's not worth it. But in order to get to that point, we have to educate ourselves and make those connections and build the network to fight the battle in a compassionate way where we can educate people and appeal to their to their heart and their soul versus their pocketbook. I hope that makes sense.
Well, it does, and that's I appreciate you sharing that. It's very important. It's absolutely very important. And as our state school board representative here in Alabama in District 2 always says, it is relational, and try to be work it so people can save face, you know.
Right.
Even though they have been all for this, you know, allow them to save face, to come over to the right way of thinking, you know. But
right.
But I was wondering, has the experience been for those who are asking to see, have they been allowed to see what their children are being taught and how they're being taught? I mean, even getting some pushback, but I mean, have there been some successful stories?
Well, there have. And what's interesting is that you can really see, I take it back to that financial side.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, I know that's important.
You can tell, since in my school district where our children are, when I ask questions, when I ask, do public information requests to find out why we're, you know, involved in a 14 district consortium to apply for Race to the Top money that would align us with the Common Core and Smarter Balance. My superintendent, she had no idea. She just didn't know. So there wasn't pushback because she didn't know, and she is a good, honest person that when I did the public information request, she, you know, obviously gave me the information, and I was able to connect the dots and educate her and educate our school board. That's a completely different scenario than, for instance, in Crowley ISD, another school district, where that superintendent, he knows. He knows the big picture, and he's just fine with it. And so you can tell people who are school districts who, because he becomes defensive and shuts down. And so that scenario or how that situation in that district is handled is completely different from my district. But I will tell you this. I think it does make a difference how we go in and how we approach people. Because if we come in blazing, you know, saying, you're a Marxist, you're a socialist, you're a communist, you're indoctrinating my kids, well, a lot of these people aren't. They just have been brought up, they've been indoctrinated themselves to think that this is the latest and the greatest. And I think that when we come in and start a team and they become defensive, there's this wall put up. And that's why I think it is so important to build a local communication team where you have people in that local community who are friends with the superintendent, who are friends with the principal, who are I know my the principal at our high school, he tells me, he goes, Alice, when I go to these regional meetings, they talk about you. They don't like you very much. But he knows me, and he knows, you know, that what because I have a relationship with him. And our kiddos are in his school. If you have people who are going in and asking the questions For instance, I asked my principal, why would we implement an AP framework that eliminates our founding fathers? And he says, well, I don't know, this is crazy. And so when we approach people like that versus coming in and attacking and thinking everybody is in the schools are for all of this, we're wrong. I think that there's a lot of good people in the schools, and so when you get pushback, it's all about how you approach it. I hope that helps, but I do think that a lot of these people, through their professional development and through the workshops and the trainings that they've gone to, that they've bought into all of this, not realizing what the big picture is.
Yeah. Well, I think we have those in the system, in the machine, that are becoming concerned. I believe that. But the leadership is not. The leadership in Alabama is all in, starting with the superintendent of education, and the local superintendents take their cue from him. And in fact, one said recently that they actually work for him, which nothing could be. I mean, that's not the way it's supposed to be, you know.
Right.
But that's a problem. And
when I think that you have situations like that, you have to expose it at all levels for what it is. I'll tell you this. And I think that when you, I think this AP U.S. history is an opportunity for all of us in all 50 states, because AP affects all 50 states. I mean, it's not like it's Common Core, which is coming in through the schools for all children. The AP is our, you know, those kiddos that are college-bound and your advanced placement kids. And when you look at this framework and you see our history completely being decimated, and you can go in to these people who are that hardened and say, why would we eliminate these people? Why would we eliminate? And I want to give you kind of a aha moment that I had last week when we were driving to Austin to go testify. You know, we think that David Coleman is the mastermind behind the Common Core, and I think he definitely is one of the key players. But have y'all ever looked into who David Coleman's mother is, Liz Coleman?
Oh, yes. Because, I have heard her speak. Yes.
Yes. So she believes that we need to fundamentally transform education and in particular, a liberal arts education. She's got videos out, how you teach liberal arts in a democracy. Well, you know what? We're not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. And I believe that one of the reasons why they want to eliminate our founding fathers is because our founding fathers warned us about a democracy.
That's
because,
right. They sure did.
And we are seeing
it a democracy.
That's exactly right. And we're seeing it in full view right now with these illegal minors who are flooding into our schools, into our public schools, and by law they have to be given an education, a free public school education. And our local school districts, our locally elected school board members do not have the ability to keep them out. Now, we may sound heartless that we want to keep them out, but let me ask you this. Those people who came across our borders illegally are getting rights that we, our children, as U.S. citizens, do not have a right to.
That's right.
A safe and secure environment in their public schools, because these children, through sometimes no fault of their own, and by the way, only 20% of the people flooding across our borders are minors. The 80% are adults, but they're putting the picture on the 20% of minors. But these minors that are coming in have illness. They have scabies. They have tuberculosis. In the housing facilities that are housing these children, it is so inhumane and so wrong what is happening to these children. And I would submit to you that these children are experiencing child abuse like no other, because of the policies and the carrots that are dangled of amnesty and in-state tuition for illegals. That is what is bringing them here and putting them in harm's way. It is child abuse what Obama is doing, but it is child abuse as well, because we don't hold these countries accountable. And when they come in and a democracy is at hand, and we as a local community don't have the ability to provide a safe and secure school environment for our children and our local community, that is a democracy. And that's what our founding fathers were warning against. And
that's
when
right.
You look at David Coleman's mother, Liz Coleman, when you look at Dr. Kathy Seeley from the Dana Center in Austin, Texas, who's implementing a lot of the Common Core math and reform math, and she has a YouTube video out on the Dana Center that talks about how to teach democracy in math class. This is crazy. But a lot of people don't understand the difference between a democracy and a constitutional republic.
Well, you know, Alice, it has not been taught in the schools for many, many years. I'm 67 mm-hmm. years old, and I grew up in Iowa, which has a strong public school system, supposedly one of the best. And I was taught in the 50s and 60s that, you know, even at that time, it was being taught as a democracy. Let me back up just a minute and ask you regarding the AP history. And I know that we need to alert everyone that we can about it. Would you also suggest that we go to our local school boards meetings and bring that up, and what are some other venues?
I definitely would, and I would strongly suggest that if your child is registered and scheduled to take AP U.S. History next in September when school starts, that you pull them. And that you tell your local school that you will not allow your child to take an AP U.S. History class. Let me tell you how bad the new AP U.S. History framework is. In the period from the American Revolution up to 1787, the Constitutional Convention, Almost every founding father is omitted. No Jefferson, Adams, Madison, or Franklin. This AP U.S. history framework excludes Lexington, Concord, Bunker Hill, Valley Forge, Saratoga, and Yorktown. All of the commanders and heroes of these pivotal battles have been omitted. The lessons on the Civil War have been omitted. The Lincoln-Douglas debates, the Gettysburg Address, the assassination of President Lincoln. It omits crucial battles. The lessons on World War II omit the Greatest Generation, Truman, Hitler, D-Day, Midway, the Battle of the Bulge, and every military commander, including Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Oh, my goodness. Alice, have y'all done the research on this, and is it on your website?
It is, and you can either go to Women on the Wall or VoicesInPower.com. Stanley Kurtz with the National Review has written an excellent article, and he really kind of laid the groundwork to call on Texans to stand against this, because if Texas rejects it, we have 10% of the AP students across the country, and that could devastate the College Board. Let me tell you something very interesting. When we were testifying last week in Austin, and we had over a dozen people testify against it, all kinds of people, and then the College Board testified, and someone asked the College Board, can you just push it back a year? Kind of like how they did with the SAT, push it back. Can you push it back a year so that we can review it? Because this is all coming up. No one knew. It's just like Common Core. It's being implemented and no one knew. And so they asked her if it could be stopped for a year, and she said no. Oh, no. Because the teachers are already being trained, the instructional materials have already been purchased. This is happening. Why is it okay for our tax dollars to be used and no one even knows what they're being used for? That's where your state, that's what I would ask your state board. Why is it okay for these, and they'll say, oh, well, these are children that are going into these AP classes, and it's held, the power is held at the College Board. Well, okay, that's fine, but parents don't know that, and school districts are evaluated based on how many children that they have in the AP in AP. And so we've got to educate parents on what's actually being taught in these AP classes. And it is the Common Core philosophy of education, where everything is subjective. They omit all of our founding fathers, and they'll say, oh, well, it's because, you know, these children are AP, and they will have to prove their point by studying the founding fathers to prove their point. Well, with the instructional materials that are out there, the points that are proven are just the opposite. For instance, and I've got it on video, and I recommend that everyone push out the video of Mary Bowen, who is a teacher out of Texas, who is testifying against the APUSH U.S. history framework. She said there are students that come out of these classrooms believing that the Holocaust was all a farce. And they can prove their point based on the instructional materials and the subjective information that's given them. So if they can prove their point and get credit for it, and pass these AP classes, what has your child just learned? That the Holocaust didn't exist?
Yeah.
Is that okay with parents? Is that okay that our next generation is not given a knowledge-based, foundational, factual, knowledge-based education in K through 12? Why are we asking them to prove that the Holocaust existed in high school? And then giving, and then our tax dollars are paying for instructional materials that lead them down the wrong path.
You know what that reminds me of? That what they're teaching in the early grades with Common Core, they're teaching children how to use the most effective language to persuade, or, you know, they're teaching them to be little community organizers, but they're
yes,
actually teaching them to use certain words and, you know, to prove whatever they want
right
to prove.
Right.
Oh, indeed. Well, let me go ahead and point out something, too, that we saw, Alice, me and Ms. Barbara and someone else went to our regional library to look at the social studies textbooks and supplementals, and one of them was, it was a National Geographic line of, you know, of supplemental books, and they, but it's saying, conduct a survey, find out which rights the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution guarantees. Survey people in your community to discover which of these rights people view as most important. If they had to give up one of those rights, which would they choose and why? Make a presentation that describes your survey results and explains the importance of the right that most would give up. And, you know, with that line of questioning, instead of building up their love for country, they're going to teach them to break down the rights that we have in this country, and it, that is the mindset going on, I believe, all throughout.
I think you're exactly right. And people have to understand, just like we were saying before, a lot of people have been taught that we are a democracy. A lot of people have been taught misinformation. And when, you know, I was told by a curriculum director that C-Scope was put in place to weed out the veteran teachers. And this new 21st century learning and all these frameworks that are given to new teachers, where they are given scripts and they are handed the curriculum. Used to, we would, you know, you would go to college and you would learn how to, you know, learn a subject and then write a curriculum on, or write your own curriculum on it. And those veteran teachers know how to teach. They're being weeded out. And that's the whole idea about with Can I See? I want to see, can I see the professional development of my teachers. How are you teaching my child a subject? Are you teaching them based on scripts and curriculum products that you're being forced to use? Or are you a teacher who actually understands the curriculum, or understands whether it's math or English? Do you know it yourself as a teacher, and are you able to impart this knowledge on our children and write your own lesson plans? What we're doing is, and you hear it with the, you know, through Teach for America or the Teaching Channel, the teacher is basically the lead learner and facilitating a lesson. They don't many times know the knowledge themselves. And so we want to stand with those veteran teachers who are being weeded out of the system. And by us going in and saying, can I see, a lot of those teachers can't expose it because they're going to lose their job, they're going to lose their family's income. And so by us going in and asking the questions, it gives them the ability to give us the answers and expose it without them exposing it themselves and putting their family's financial situation in peril. And so we want to stand with those teachers who want to teach knowledge and want to, and know English and math and reading and writing. And there's a lot of wonderful teachers out there that need us asking these questions.
Wow. That's great. That's seeing it in a whole new light.
I think so. I think that it's, and, you know, it's interesting because you look at the folks that are just waking up. You know, there was just this big Glenn Beck event, and they're using the hashtag, we will not conform. Well, I won't either, and I think that's a great hashtag. But in order to know what you're not conforming to, you have to go in and say, can I see? And so then when you are convicted and you're willing to go in and ask the questions and open the door for those educators, like we were saying, who don't know what they don't know, and they've bought into all of this 21st century, by us asking the questions and saying, can I see, it opens the door, it gives them an out to say, you know what, this isn't, we need to go back to our founding fathers, we need to go back to the basics. We need to understand our history and who we are. You know, Dana Loesch was speaking one time, this was several years ago, and she said, today's headlines are the history of tomorrow.
Yeah.
And unless we control the headlines, which is exactly what you're doing on the show tonight, you are creating the headlines, you are driving the narrative, you are controlling the history is going to be that's taught in the next generation. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome that we have been given that ability to write the history for our children and our grandchildren. And sometimes our children don't understand. I was telling Diana, we were in a crazy accident in the last couple of days, and we were stuck on the side of the road in between Oklahoma and Kansas, and with a state trooper waiting for a ride. And this guy was wonderful, and his wife is a teacher. And I said, oh, what does she think about Common Core? And he said, oh, I could go on and on about Common Core. And it opened up the dialogue, and my son said, oh, I can't get away from it. He was so frustrated. He was so frustrated. But I tell you what, he knows now.
In a strange state, and you can't get away from it. That is so hilarious.
But we're creating the headlines. My son now knows. And so that's the gift that we're giving our children. It's kind of like we've put out the tagline, give the gift of American exceptionalism to the next generation. And the way that we do that is by going in and saying, can I see what you're teaching my child? And if it's not that America is an exceptional, not that we don't have our warts and we don't have, you know, our challenges and things that we've done wrong, but man, we've done some pretty incredible things. And the gift of the United States is our Constitution, and that we have to fight for that gives us that God-given right to freedom. And that is so worth fighting for. And
yes, it is.
You know, it's a real honor. It's a real honor for us to give that gift to our children.
Well, Alice, Miss Barbara, this reminds me about the fact, you know, school's fixing to start, and one of the things people are already asking is about these forms. And so we're talking, you know, you're talking about for the child not to take the history exam and for really not to even take the class. So, Alice,
right.
Do you all have something already developed to help parents present it to the principal, you know, to the local school in regard to that, hey, I'm not going to let my child do this?
Actually, that is something that we are working on. This just happened this last week to where we were able to peel back the onion and see what this was. And so we are working on that as we speak, and that's what we're telling folks. This is coming down. The two major issues that are coming down the pike for September are this AP U.S. history, and that we have the ability to pull kids out of those classes. And that's what we're telling people. That's all they have to do. Their kids don't have to take AP U.S. history. And if we have kids all across the country who are pulling out of that AP U.S. history, and I'll tell you, one of the things that I'm recommending is that they take – instead, take a U.S. history class actually online. One of the guys who testified or sent a written testimony for me is Kevin Guzman. He's originally from Texas, but he's a professor of history from the Western Connecticut State University, and he's got an incredible U.S. history online course I would recommend that parents have their children take. And if people are interested in that information, you can email me at alice@womenonthewall.org, and I can get you connected with Kevin Guzman. But those are the things that we're going to have. Those people that still have their kids in the public school, we're going to have to supplement right now. And I think that there is the ability to supplement it and know where there is good curriculum. Another great organization and group, we are hosting Dr. Duke Pesta, P-E-S-T-A, in Texas this next week, and he works with parents and schools who are supplementing and homeschool parents who are supplementing their children's education with curriculum that is Christian, Judeo-Christian based, American exceptionalism based curriculum, and that classical curriculum. And his organization is the Freedom Project, Freedom Project Education, I believe it is. But
hey,
there
Alice, you just made me think, if I may, before I want this to be heard on Saturday's show. But now you're talking about supplementing with online courses, so that sounds like the perfect thing that parents need to be, you know, doing. We're all complaining about these courses, but they can actually do that. Their kids can be in school for others,
mm-hmm.
and you're saying let them take the social studies online or even the math, right? They can
exactly.
really even do the math. Okay.
Do the math. And that's what we can do, and present it to your school district and say, hey, instead of doing this AP, why are you paying for a curriculum product that has not been piloted and proven successful and that we as parents and taxpayers don't agree with? Let's find solutions. Let's find a curriculum product that's better than the AP class. And I'll tell you what, these folks are college, university professors. So that the whole AP is about advanced placement and getting these kids into college. Well, let's start taking the AP college classes that are actually presented by professors who are willing to teach about our founding fathers. Let's have a say in the curriculum products that are college ready. There's some great professors, great history professors who don't agree with this, who don't agree with this at all. So you have to be the advocate for your child and for the children in your community. Sometimes we, you know, we want to say, oh, well, we're just going to homeschool. We're going to pull our kids out. Well, all those other kids are stuck in a situation where they're still in those schools. So why don't we get in those schools and pressure those school boards and educate those school boards and say, okay, here's what the AP U.S. History Framework that's owned by the College Board that David Coleman, who's the mastermind of Common Core, is providing. And then here's a curriculum product, a U.S. history class that's provided by Kevin Guzman, who's actually a history professor. Why don't we use this curriculum product versus the AP history? Provide solutions and provide curriculum that has been piloted and proven, and that's actually our U.S. history.
Yeah.
What a concept.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Alice. That is wonderful. And I do remember Professor Milgram talking about that even with the math, you know, early on.
Yes.
I remember him saying, you can take your child out. It's better to take your child out of the math class, you know, and teach them at home if you can or whatever. So he was actually saying that, pull them out of that class and let them have something that will really teach them real math. So thank you, Alice. Miss Barbara, I have not even really thought about this avenue until Alice just now beautifully, you know, just made sense of it in my mind.
I know. Wonderful. Well, golly.
We
got to
have time, Alice.
Sometimes
we do, and you know that is something that we can do, Alice, and for us to be able to go in, like you said, to our local schools, and you know, present, you know, the information you just said, and let them come to our side because they have children too. So maybe we can appeal to that side. A lot of them are parents, and they want their children taught well. Until we can get this Common Core weeded out. You know, well, not weeded out, just taken out, period. We need to have something because, unfortunately, children's minds are at stake. And that's really the part that makes me really, really very concerned because they're playing with the mind of a child. And to me, you know, you're hurting that child, and that child is alone. Nobody is there in the classroom with that child, and you're turning that child's brain every which way. And when I look at the what was showing about the Alabama score on Nate, I can just imagine because what they're doing is they're really breaking down the child. The child's values has been taught at home and reformatting that child. And can you imagine how that child's brain is? I would almost think that that child will shut down. Just, you know, or you'll drive that child crazy. So, you know, this is really a matter of life, I think, for the child. We're not really paying attention, but we're killing that child inside. And, you know, I think it's time to fight. And this is a wonderful solution for that child's brain to get a handle of something that makes sense.
And I want to, I have to give just a tip my hat to you guys because I was on your show, this was probably 2 months ago, and there was a woman, Cindy Sheritz, who was listening to your show. She's from Hartford County, Maryland, and she contacted me right after the show. And she ended up coming on the Women on the Wall conference call and talking and telling us about the structure of the PTA. And she was phenomenal. And I never got to tell you that and to say thank you for for through your show connecting me to Cindy Sherritt. And what's interesting is I think that the PTA is another place where the progressives and the other side has a stronghold on those parents in the PTA. But what Cindy Sherritt shared with us, who's a listener of your show, is that we have to go into our PTAs and become involved in those organizations and take control of those organizations at the local level. And I will tell you that the whole Can I See conference was formed because of the stance against the National PTA Association, who was having their national convention, and Arne Duncan was their keynote speaker, and they were pushing Common Core. Well, I can report to you that those parents and the folks at the PTA National Convention, Arne Duncan did not get a warm welcome. And so, no, he did not. Now, they would not acknowledge that we were across the street. Actually, one of our friends who was across the street said she was in a Common Core session, and she said, well, you know, they have that Can I See conference across the street. And someone said, oh, they probably have 6 or 7 people. They don't even know what standards are. Those people don't know. And she said, well, that's kind of interesting because I know that Sandra Stotsky, Dr. Stotsky, and James Milgram are speaking across the street at the Can I See conference, and they're the ones that actually David Coleman hired to validate the Common Core standards. So, but Cindy Sherritt had such a valid point that we've got to use the organizations that are in our local community, whether it's the PTA, whether it's educating our school board. Those are our PTA. That's our school board. That's our local school. We have the right as parents to go in and take back our schools and use our parental rights to say, I want to know what you're teaching my child. And if you're teaching my child that is something that is anti-American and not educating my child so that they have an education of opportunity to be successful in their life, then I am demanding answers because I'm a parent and I am a taxpayer. And if that starts happening in every community all across this country, you will see a turnaround like you have never seen before. And it's people like you guys with this show, Cindy Sherritt in Maryland, Mary Bowen in South Texas, Janine McGregor in Texas who's fighting, Jenny White in Oklahoma. That's what we're doing. And there's hope because there's people every day who are fighting the good fight, and that's why I'm so excited about the opportunities for our children.
Oh Alice, that just thrilled our hearts.
Yeah, what a great closing. I see that we're
yes, I just saw me. I know, it's just, Miss Barbara, I mean, you know, you just never can tell. You just never can tell.
No.
And, you know, Ms. Barbara and me always says, you know, that God is our, PR.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is God's show. And so tell Cindy, thank you so much for listening. And I'm going to do what she says. I'm going to go into the PTA or PTO. I have done it last year, and I came in with my information, and I saw people leaving with my information. Or the information God allowed me to give. But once they get it, you're right, Alice, it makes a difference. They don't want to be a part of this group that builds up a children that hates this God-given country, God-blessed country. So what an opportunity. So every parent that's listening, if you're a member of the PTA, PTO, or if you're not, you need to be going. You need to be joining. You need to be making truth heard because that's how we're going to save our schools. We have got to let the truth ring out. That's what God says. You know, he wants us to, I love the scripture that says he wants us to worship in spirit and in truth. And for too long, I think a lot of us in our churches have forgotten about those two go together. So let's share the truth. And Alice, thank you so much for, you know, giving us this time. And Miss Barbara, we're so excited she's coming. She's going to share so much more.
I know it. It is so exciting. We're looking forward to it so very much. It's going to be a tremendous blessing for Alabama for you to be here, Alice.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to come. I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, God's working. He's building the network. And I am so, so grateful. I'm so grateful for the work that you have been doing and the work that you are doing and the work that you will do. Because together we're going to make the difference. We are.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, amen. Well, with that, I will all close us in prayer. And
All right. Let's
go ahead. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you so much. We thank you that, Lord, you are God who has ears for our prayers, who has ears for our concern. We are so grateful that all across this land you are looking to and fro, and you've raised up people like Alice and Cindy, Becca, Merrill, so many others, Ms. Donna. Lord, we're so grateful what Texas is doing, Lord. We pray that they will persevere and that, Lord, this history framework, Lord, that the people that have promoted that, Lord, that they will be put to notice right now, Lord, if they haven't already, that, Lord, it must be gone. It cannot be tolerated. It will not be allowed to stay. It cannot stand because, Lord, we know our true history. We know that it is founded and that you have blessed this nation to continue to shine the light of your goodness. This is the land of the free. Many brave have fought and bled and died so that we can enjoy the freedoms and share it the world over. What a blessing this nation is. And, Lord, we want to bless our children, our grandchildren. We know where blessings come from. So we're so grateful, Lord, for this opportunity. We pray for your blessings upon Alice and Texas, Lord, for all of them that are fighting, that you continue to give them uncommon favor, your hedge, your protection. And, Lord, we ask this also for all the other states, Lord. Give us the strength, Lord, and give us your wisdom. Lord, we just thank you, and we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Oh, well, this has been delightful. And again, once again, Alice, thank you so much for being with us tonight. And listeners, we thank you for being with us. We're so grateful. And we pray that you will take the information that you've heard and share it with your friends, neighbors, family, and so that they, too, can learn right along with us and become better informed and involved in this battle for our children, for our nation. Once again, thank you for joining us. And this podcast will be available at cityonahill.tv. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. And may God bless America. Thank you for being with us at City on a Hill Radio Show. Good night.